Last Sunday, I began a Christmas series that I simply entitled Moments That Matter. And I asked you last week to think of some of your favorite Christmas memories, and then I asked you the question, how did they become memories? Some of them happened by chance, and others happened because you took the time to plan them. That special event, that special gift. I share with you a story of one of my favorite Christmas memories that took a lot of effort by a lot of people. I left you this quote last week. It said, sometimes you don't realize the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. And so my challenge to you this Christmas is to make moments that matter. Not just with your family, but yes, certainly do that. But more importantly, make an effort to make moments that matter with God. Because if we don't, just like things don't usually just happen, it takes effort, things don't usually just happen in our relationship with God. We have to acknowledge the effort that He has made, as the kids clearly demonstrated this morning. The effort that He made to have a relationship with us, and we need to plan to have a relationship with Him. Last Sunday, I shared with you a couple of reasons that I think people miss the moments that matter. And from the familiar Christmas story in Matthew and Luke, I shared with you two reasons that I think a lot of people miss those important moments. In Matthew's gospel, it tells us about the wise men, the magi. We might call them the ungodly people in our paraphrase. But they heard about this king that was born, and they saw a star in the east, and because that's the things they studied, they became curious. And they were seekers, literally. They came to find out more. What does this mean? They were hungry and eager. And they came and they inquired, and of course King Herod sort of got a little bit threatened, but he consulted his religious leaders, and he said, what's the deal here? And they said, oh, we know all about this. The prophet Micah wrote about this years ago. And so the familiar people didn't have the interest, even though they knew all about it, and this was happening literally on their doorstep. They didn't take the effort to go see Jesus, the baby. But the wise men, the magi, they did. And so sometimes I think, and I'll put myself in this category of the church folk, sometimes I think we get to Christmas and it's like, oh yeah, I mean, you know, it's the same story we've heard for, well, there's only one story. But yet for people who are interested and eager and want to know more, they will always find those moments with Jesus. And then there's the familiar story of the innkeeper. The classic, there's no room in the inn. A census was taking place, and Joseph and Mary went, and because of everybody's busy schedules, a census was happening, government was happening, politics was happening, the economy was happening, everyone was busy, and there was no room for them, not because they were poor, not because she was pregnant, but because everybody just had something else to do. We talked about the tyranny of the urgent. And this Christmas, like every Christmas, there will always be something to do. And so we need to intentionally make moments that matter with God. This morning I want to talk about moments of peace, or just for a few moments. Moments of peace. We read and we saw the video about what true peace is. In the Old Testament of the Bible, there are prophecies about things that will happen. There are prophets who told what would happen in the future. And a lot of those prophecies, all of them in some ways connect, but a lot of them are directly about Jesus, the baby who was born in Bethlehem that we celebrate at this season. And so the Old Testament gives the prophecy. The New Testament, we find the fulfillment of those prophecies. And Jesus, in this case, became the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies of somebody who would bring peace. In Isaiah chapter 6, we have a prophecy about the birth of Jesus. And it says that when he is born, do we have the slide there? For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called. This is what is being foretold. This is what's being prophesied. A child will be born, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Not just a peaceful person, but the actual Prince of Peace. Now, you have to understand the climate in which the political, religious, spiritual climate that this prophecy was given. This prophecy wasn't given in a time of peace. When Isaiah said someone is going to come and he's going to be Prince of Peace, he wasn't writing to a world that was experiencing peace. In fact, the world was on the brink of war. It was a time of imminent war. It was a time of political instability, a time of international conflict, and a general atmosphere of fear. The world was fearful. Everybody was on edge, threatening war. The powerful nations in those days, especially the nation of Assyria, was intimidating smaller, less powerful nations. And so there was this whole atmosphere of political instability, fear, intimidation, conflict, and so on. People then were looking for something, so they started to put their trust in these military alliances that were forming. These alliances that were unproven, that nobody knew if they were ever going to work, but people were so hungry for peace in the midst of turmoil and conflict that they started to put their trust in these unproven military alliances rather than trust a God who had proven himself time and time and time again. And when people want peace so desperately, they will look for it anywhere. Keep in mind, this was not only a time of fear, it was a time of corruption. Political leaders were corrupt. The poor were being exploited by the powerful. Not to mention the moral decay and the lack of attention to God's covenant. And no, in case you thought you missed something, I'm not talking about 2025. It sounds like it. But I'm talking about something that happened, a prophecy that was written about 700 or 800 years before Jesus was even born. And so into that climate, Isaiah speaks. Into this world desperate for some sort of peace, the prophet declares that peace will come. But it won't come from a political leader. It won't come from a nation. He says it's going to come from a child. A child will be born, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called, among other things, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah announces someone who would bring true peace, not by military alliance, but by his life, and everyone who would trust in him and would accept him would find true peace. He went on to say, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And given the violent politics of that time, that announcement shattered the atmosphere for sure. And then we go over to Luke chapter 2, where we find the fulfillment of this prophecy. And so consider what the climate of the prophecy was like. And now, 700, 800 years later, a child is born in a manger in Bethlehem. And Luke writes these words that form part of our familiar Christmas story. When the announcement was given of his birth, in verse 14, we read these words, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And on earth, peace. This birth, this baby, was first of all to bring glory to God. The reason Jesus came to this earth is first of all, and always is, in every generation and in every circumstance, the purpose of the birth of Jesus Christ in his life is to bring glory to God. When we accept him and accept his salvation, it's ultimately that all that we do brings glory to God. But it's also to bring peace to people on whom his favor rests. Now, on whom does God's favor rest? Who does God's favor rest on? Any guesses? What was that? Everyone. Doesn't say on the Pentecostals. I hope we're finding his favor. It doesn't say Canadians, North Americans. Doesn't say a certain creed, a certain color. The Bible clearly tells us that God's favor came to rest upon, as someone said, on everyone, on all humanity. Peace on earth, the best translation actually of that scripture is peace on earth, or peace upon mankind, which is his good pleasure. I'm not an English teacher, but the subject here is not about the people on whom his favor rests. The subject here is God. And so it's not as much about he's going to give peace to the favored people as it's his favor to give peace. And so he's the one that's the center of this verse, that God came to give peace to those because it's his favor. He wants to favor us with peace. It's his good pleasure to give peace to whoever would accept the peace that he offers, all humanity. Jesus' birth was God being pleased to bring peace, not just to a broken world that was in turmoil politically, but to broken hearts and to broken spirits. Many of us know that our world is restless. Yes, we don't have to spend a lot of time talking about that. We know that our world is without peace, and that's troubling. Whether you look in the Middle East, in Gaza, you look in Ukraine, you look at all these places that we know our world is struggling for peace, and that's troubling. But there's some of you here this morning, maybe all of us, maybe every one of us this morning, that also knows that personal lack of peace, that restlessness. When your peace is disrupted, it goes beyond even when your sleep is disrupted. And you know what that's like. When your heart is troubled and your spirit is disrupted. But what about when your peace, when there's no peace, when there's chaos in your soul, and there's no greater need for peace than a heart that is at odds with God? The greatest lack of peace is not even political or military. The greatest lack of peace is a heart that is not in tune, is not at peace with God. But there's something that's keeping that peace from having peace with its creator. So we talked about the climate when the prophet Isaiah said, and a child will come and his name will be Prince of Peace. And that was kind of like in an atmosphere that nobody really expected the peace. Well, the climate of the day in which Jesus was born, when that prophecy was fulfilled about 700, 800 years later, was almost identical. This time, Rome was the threat. It wasn't Assyria, but it was Rome, another superpower. It was a time of heavy taxation. It was a time of military renewal. That's why the census was being done, partly for taxation, but also for military tracking so plans could know who's who and where they're from and where they are when we need war and when war breaks out. Even though the Jews were exempt from service, there was still this taxation was taking place. Nationalism was strong. Corruption was evident politically. And again, just in case you missed something, I'm not talking about 2025. I'm talking about 2,000 years ago. In that climate, people were looking for peace, hoping, believing. Now, they had heard this promise. That was the difference. The people in Isaiah's day, this was the first news. Despite all the corruption, despite all the fear and unrest, hey, someone is going to come and he's going to be Prince of Peace. So now you go forward 700-800 years at the time of Jesus' birth, it's still turmoil, it's still unrest, there's still no peace. But at least there's some people that say, well, what about that promise? There's hope. Maybe there will become a Messiah. And they were hoping for this Messiah. They were hoping for a powerful military leader who would come, but in their minds just wasn't coming. Nobody is coming to help us. Politically threatened and trodden down in turmoil and chaos and unrest. Nothing is happening. And then, the moment that changed not only the political landscape, didn't only change the lives of the people in that day, the moment that changed history. When God fulfilled his promise given to the prophet hundreds of years before, that a child will be born and his name will be Prince of Peace. And now here in Bethlehem of Judea, a moment happens and the angels start to declare glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. Peace to those on whom his favor will rest. Those who will accept his favor. Those present didn't miss the moment. The wise men, the magi, those who were studying astrology, something is happening here. Let's go see. The shepherds, most unlikely group maybe. Let's go see, and now let's go tell everyone. Let's go see this Savior, the Messiah. And so whose favor does God want to rest on this Christmas season? Are you receiving his favor? I know what the world looks like. I know the turmoil. It's the same as it was 2,800 years ago when Isaiah gave that prophecy. It's the same as it was 2,000 years ago when the angels announced peace in the midst of turmoil. In 2025, the world is still looking for peace, realizing that they're not going to find it. Looking for peace in any leader that will even give a promise. Looking for some economic reform that will transform their daily lives. Some political security that will assure them of things that no man can assure us of. It won't be found in a human leader. It won't be found in a government. People will grasp at it, and when they see even something that looks like it, like a mirage in the desert, they will fall for it. All the while, the Bible clearly teaches us that peace will not come to this world until Jesus comes back again and the Prince of Peace actually rules the world this time. When, as John in the book of Revelation declared, the day when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever. That's when true peace will come on the earth. But true peace has come to your heart already. God, in his favor, has granted that in this world of turmoil, in this world of unrest, in this world of political instability and fear, God has granted favor upon humanity, that in the middle of that chaos, you can have peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I know what the world looks like. I may not know what your world looks like, though. I may have some idea, but I may have no idea about the inner turmoil, about the lack of peace, about the mental torment. I may have no idea about the instability that you feel. I don't know, but what I do know today, without a doubt, is that God's favor is toward you. That God's favor rests upon you. And in the midst of the turmoil of your life, He has sent His Son, Jesus. And He can rule your world with peace. In this world, it says you will have turmoil, but you can find peace. God's favor is upon you so much that He left the peace of heaven and came to the turmoil of earth to help you exchange the turmoil of your life for the peace of heaven. This Christmas, embrace that moment of peace. Embrace that moment when your turmoil is surrendered, and in exchange, you find the peace of God that passes all understanding. When Isaiah prophesied, no one could understand it. When Jesus was born, few got it. And today, unless you experience it for yourself, you don't know that peace can happen in the midst of a world of chaos. Do you bow with me for a moment? We are going to dismiss in a few moments, but I want us to not miss these moments. These moments when God wants to remind you that His favor is upon you. And your turmoil might be something totally different from mine. Person over here might be experiencing a totally different turmoil than the person over here. Some of you, it may be economic turmoil, political, you're confused. Some of it might be in your homes, your marriage, your families. I want you to know this morning that peace between you and God is always possible. There's an old chorus, and we're just going to sing it. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. The hymn writer invites and says, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Father, in these moments, we thank You that You allow us to come together in the busyness of our weeks. Your word instructs us to set time aside to come together like this. And we do because we want to thank You and praise You, but we do because we need to be centered. Our world is in chaos. Our personal lives sometimes are in a mess. But Lord, You have put Your favor upon this world despite the chaos. You've given Your Son who came. Your word declares He will be the Prince of Peace. He won't just be peaceful. He will be the epitome of peace. And Lord, we know, and one day we will experience You bringing peace when You return again, and the kingdoms of this world will be Yours, and this world will experience eternal, everlasting peace. But Lord, until that moment, You've promised peace in our hearts. Your word invites us that if we confess with our mouths, believe in our hearts, Lord, that we will find peace with You through Your Son that You sent. So I pray that in these moments, those who need to find salvation, that this would be a moment of salvation, that those who need to be reminded that the Prince of Peace is still in control, Lord, that this would be a moment of assurance. And so we embrace these moments in Jesus' name.